All of us at some point in time have felt like giving up, but God is calling you today through His Word to stay the course. Join us. The Encouraging Word. That's right. God's Encouraging Word. The Bible itself is what we'll be diving in together with Dr. Don Wilton as he brings the message, Stay the Course, and takes us into God's Word to gain not only insight to that commitment, but also the determination and the power to know that with God in us, we can face anything. We are with you to face that as well. Know that we'd love to pray with you and for you. We can connect on our phone at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And it's like we've rediscovered the phone in this time of separation. And now more than ever, perhaps hearing someone pray for you is just what you need. That's 866-899-9673. We'd love to connect with you. And now, Dr. Don Wilton.
I'm going to give you a guarantee this morning. God is going to speak to you in a number of areas in your life if you let Him do so. Number one, He's going to speak to you personally. He's going to speak to me. What's He going to say? I don't know. I know God has been speaking to me this weekend. God is speaking to me personally. What about? About everything. About my life, my family, my relationships, my attitudes. And what is God saying to me? He's saying to me, Don Wilton, I want you to stay the course. I want you to remain faithful to me. God will also talk to you about your church, about First Baptist Church, or whatever church you're a member of. God will speak to you about your church. Your church is not there by accident. This church is not here by accident. God will speak to you about the ministries of the church, your role in those ministries. God will speak to you. God is moving in an incredible way on this campus. We've asked people to do extraordinary things. We've asked some of our people to wait in line to come into church. Some of you have to stand out here and wait because other people are getting right with God and are worshiping Him. God is going to speak to you about your Sunday school attendance. God is going to speak to Sunday school teachers. I wonder if there's some Sunday school teachers here today who are wilting and waning. God is going to say, stay the course. Stay the course. We have a Sunday school going on now. Hundreds of people in Sunday school. Do you know that I asked some Sunday school teachers when we began our new Sunday school if they would be willing to teach Sunday school and be prepared in the new Sunday school to have nobody show up for a couple of months? How do you like that? Would you become a Sunday school teacher and just talk to yourself for a little while? I wonder if you're ready to give up. William Carey went to India, never had a single convert in 7 years. He stayed the course. God's going to speak to you about our world because we've got lots of questions in this series. Lord, why are you going to allow those who are left behind to suffer so much? Lord, why is there poverty in the world? Why are there haves and have-nots? Lord, why is this happening? Lord, why have we got to do that? And what God is going to say to us in His Word is stay the course. And can you just imagine, here is the Lord Jesus Christ standing at the doorway of Jerusalem, and He's about to enter Jerusalem knowing something. What did Jesus know? Jesus knew that all that was ahead of Him was the cross. By the way, folks, the cross in Jesus' time was not death by lethal injection. You didn't just go to sleep. The cross was not just as simple as one bullet in the head. The cross was the most unbelievably horrible death that anybody could ever experience. And here's the Lord Jesus Christ standing at the gateway of Jerusalem, and God has spoken to Him, and He's about to enter Jerusalem, and Jesus Christ could have turned back. Jesus Christ could have said, I'm not going to do this. Jesus Christ knew that what lay ahead of Him was the cross, but He stayed the course. Matthew 21. Turn there with me this morning. Matthew 21. And verse 1, you're going to need your Bibles. Matthew 21, the Bible says, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples saying to them, go into the village, gentlemen, ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her baby colt by her side. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This took place in order to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt with the foal of the donkey by its side. Verse 6, the disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Now when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? The crowds answered, this is Jesus. You know the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee? May the Lord write his word upon our hearts. I have tremendous dilemmas when I read this. I have tremendous dilemmas. There are great perplexions which grip my heart as I consider the events of Palm Sunday, as I consider the events until Jesus comes again. I've often asked myself, surely Jesus wouldn't have had these dilemmas. But then I've come to understand that he was the God-man. Jesus became hungry. That was a dilemma, friends. Jesus became angry in the temple just following this account. That's a dilemma. Jesus was tempted in all points, just like we are. That was a dilemma. Jesus encountered Satan time without number, who offered him what he had not to offer. That was a dilemma to the man who is Christ Jesus. And I'm going to say to you today, as we begin to look toward the cross and contemplate these things that the Bible teaches us, that there are some incredible dilemmas. And when I look at these dilemmas, then I begin to understand perhaps a little more clearly and perhaps with greater profundity the reason why Jesus stayed the course. These dilemmas are not uncommon to my own human perplexions. First of all, there was the dilemma of personal preference. I have a personal preference as far as Jesus is concerned. I'll guarantee you, if you were to go to those disciples and those people who were with him, they would have far preferred to have done things a little bit differently. And I dare say, because Jesus was the Son of Man, I just imagine for a moment that Jesus faced the dilemma of his personal preference. I mean, after all, was it not the Lord Jesus who found himself in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweating drops of blood? And what did Jesus say? Jesus said, Father, will you take this cup from me? That's a personal preference. I'd rather not have to go through this, if you don't mind. Excuse me, Father, do you know who you're dealing with? I'm your son. Father, if you take this cup from me, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I think as Jesus stood on the Mount of Olives looking down through the Kidron Valley and across to Jerusalem, I think he faced the dilemma of his personal preference, and it came in three different arenas. First of all, personal preference concerned the method that God used to bring about his will. It involved methodology. I have a real problem with that. I have a problem because of my personal preferences concerning methodology, the way God does things. Did you notice what the method was here? The method was testing other people. The Bible tells us in these first few verses that Jesus turned to two of his disciples and he said, gentlemen, come here. And he told those two disciples, he said, listen, I want you to go to a place that you haven't been to, to meet a people that you know nothing about and find a donkey that you've never seen. I mean, that's what Jesus did. Now, I'm going to ask you something. Do you think that Jesus could have done this his own way? Now, I tell you, if you're going to talk about methodology and personal preference, I know what I would have said. I'll guarantee you what one of those disciples would have said, and they might have said it. I'll guarantee you they would have said, "Now, Lord, could we just talk about this for a moment? You don't seem to understand your method here is to use us. This is your problem. You think we could perhaps just stay out of the way for a little while, and beside that, we are convinced that you are the Son of God. You want a donkey, you get a donkey. Why get us involved in all of this stuff? And besides that, I'll tell you what I would prefer that you do. Lord, if you wouldn't mind just giving me 20 shekels, and I'll tell you what the best thing is. This is my personal preference. I would rather go to the marketplace in this little village where I know they sell donkeys and say to the man who's the donkey owner, excuse me, but I'd like to buy that donkey there. Listen, that's my personal preference. Your methodology is to send us somewhere we haven't been with a mission we know nothing about to find a donkey we've never seen. Why did Jesus employ this methodology that override their personal preference? For one simple reason, friend. He was testing them. He was testing them. This is a great discipleship principle that was inculcated into the hearts of all believers. He was testing them at the point of their obedience, and he was testing them at the point of their faith. What God wanted to know was that accompanying Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem was unequivocal obedience and faith. Now that's a dilemma for you and me. Obedience means we do it because God has spoken to us, and faith means that we trust that God is going to keep His word.
Please forgive the interruption. We'll be back with more of today's message, Stay the Course, with Dr. Don Wilton in just a moment. But what a challenge of obedience and faith. You know, sometimes we find ourselves understanding what we need to do, but just needing some encouragement to do that. If we can encourage you, pray for you, pray with you, we're here at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. But even more so, online right now at tewonline.org. You can sign up for something that we believe that, personally, I can testify that every morning I read this as a part of my quiet time and it jumpstarts my day. It's an email called the Daily Encouraging Word Devotion from Dr. Don. It's available on our website, tewonline.org. Of course, there's no cost involved. It's just a daily email that includes a bit of God's Word, some wonderful insight from Dr. Wilton, and some application to how we can apply that to our life every single day and help us indeed stay the course. Again, you can sign up online right now at tewonline.org. Now back to today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
Not only was their personal preference related to the method by which God used to bring about His will, but personal preference concerned the means by which God would accomplish His will. Now here we have a real problem. Because Jesus was going to come on a donkey. Now, I want you to just consider this, because it seems highly inappropriate, my friends, that any king, much less the King of Kings, would make his triumphal entry riding on a donkey. Have you got any eye? Have you looked at a donkey lately? Some of you say, well, I live with one, Pastor. I mean, they are miserable things. You've never seen anything more sorry than a donkey. Listen, if I was a donkey, folks, I'd never leave the house. I'm just telling you right now. You know, I put donkeys and armadillos on the same level. Ugly. It is most inappropriate to think that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, would come riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. But that is what God's Son did, because that was God's divine plan. Any questions? Jesus Christ did not come in wealth, He came in poverty. He did not come in grandeur, He came in meekness. He did not come to slay Israel's enemies, He came to save mankind. My friends, the incarnation of Jesus Christ was about His humiliation, not about His glorification. Jesus Christ, His coronation was like no other coronation at any time. It was anything but triumphant. It was exactly what God intended it to be. It was the sovereign choice of God the Father and God the Son that Jesus Christ would use this means of transportation to enter into the place that meant certain death. And he stayed the course. My personal preference is, Lord, use another method. Find another means. But my personal preference also concerns the masses that God used to witness his will. It's amazing, from verse 8 through 11, a very large crowd spread their cloaks. Verse 9, the crowds that went ahead of him. Verse 10, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred. Verse 11, the crowds answered. Personal preference concerns the masses. Did you remember how many times Jesus withdrew from the crowds? Why did he do that? He needed rest. Do you not suppose that the Lord Jesus Christ could have done this without the method of using the testing of the faith of his disciples? Do you not suppose that Jesus could have done this without the means of a mere horrible, ugly-looking donkey? Do you not suppose that Jesus could have accomplished the same purpose without having to parade in front of all these masses of excited and hysterical people? Of course he could have. His personal preference may not have been to do this, but he stayed the course. We must stay the course. We must stand up. We must stay the course. We must not back down. We must stay the course. I tell you, this is a time when we have proms. I pray for our young people when we have proms. I really pray for them. But you know, the reality is, and I'm just going to say this to young ladies, it involves everybody. Do you know that we've got young ladies who love the Lord Jesus Christ? At the time of the prom, they pay an ultimate price because of their stand for Jesus Christ. Do you know that I know some young ladies who love the Lord Jesus Christ? Their personal preference is, Lord, let me go to that prom. Lord, I don't want to have to face my classmates on Sunday and Monday and Tuesday while my friends are going and nobody's going to take me. And the reason why some of them are not going, my friends, is because there is no boy out there who is asking them that they believe is a boy of integrity, who has principles, who's going to take them and she's going to stand on his arm, and it's going to be a fun and a happy time, but it's not going to be a time of compromise of the principles of Jesus Christ. And that young girl has made a decision to stay the course. I tell you, it comes at a cost. We got some young men and some young ladies who don't go to the prom because they're not willing to compromise. And we got a lot of them who are going who are not willing to compromise. You can go to something like that and have the best time in the world without ever compromising who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I know of some young people who are not willing to lower their standards and to go with some drunken bum who's going to make all kinds of things and use foul language and four letters and talk about all kinds of things that we ought not to talk about. And I know some wonderful young people who say, not me, I belong to Jesus Christ, and it comes at a great cost. You think that's easy? You think it's easy to be a senior and watch everybody else go and you don't go? It comes at a great cost. Let me tell you something, folks. If we're going to look to the cross, we've got to understand something, that Jesus Christ was looking to the gate of Jerusalem, and the matter, the dilemma of personal preference was overwhelming, but Jesus stayed the course. It was not only the dilemma of personal preference, it was the dilemma of personal conviction. Oh, I have convictions about this. Personal conviction could not conceive that a king would ever stoop so low as to ride on a donkey. Personal conviction struggles to separate faith from concrete facts. That's personal conviction. Let me tell you something, friend. Personal conviction battled to believe that any good thing could come out of Nazareth. These were a racially prejudiced people. You can go to Israel today. We're talking about end times. Friend, listen to me. Between all the groups in Israel, there is more racism than you could ever imagine. They hate each other because of the color of their skin and their language and their religion and everything else that you could ever believe. Friend, you go to John chapter 1 and verse 46 when Jesus was introduced to the disciples, and one of the disciples says, having been introduced to Jesus Christ, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Are you trying to tell me that someone who lives over there could have any value in them whatsoever? Friend, these people were about conviction. They had convictions. Jesus Christ had convictions as the Son of Man. But despite his personal preference and despite the personal convictions, Jesus Christ stayed the course. Why? Because of the third dilemma, and that is the dilemma of absolute truth. You say to me today, "Pastor, what was that all about?" As Jesus looked toward Jerusalem. The dilemma of absolute truth, my friend, as far as he is concerned and as far as we are concerned, has to do with two things. Number one, absolute truth concerns the matter of God's sovereignty. What does that mean? It means that God has determined and God has a plan and God has provided the way. Why? Because he has done that from before the foundation of the world. Jesus could have turned back. Jesus could have used another method and another means. He could have avoided the masses. He could have subjected personal conviction to all of these things that were going on. But Jesus pointed his head toward Jerusalem, and he did according to that which the Father had set for him, because this was foreordained from before the foundation of the world. God had spoken. He is sovereign. But not only is God sovereign, but absolute truth has to do with the fact that God is superior. And here in this passage, quoting the Old Testament prophets, we are reminded about it. "Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." This has to do as much with the sovereignty as with the superiority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? The word Hosanna, by the way, literally means save. It comes from the root of salvation. Hosanna literally means that those people who gathered around the feet of our Savior as he rode into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, they were saying, "Hosanna, save us, because you are the high one. You are the only one who has the capacity and the authority to save us. Hosanna, blessed is the one who is God. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. You are sovereign and you are superior, and there is none like unto thee." Is it any wonder that the Lord Jesus stayed the course? Oh, he could have called 10,000 angels just at the click of a finger, just at the blink of an eye, to set him free and to destroy the world. But he went to the cross. Why did he do that? He could have found an alternative expression to accomplish the same means. But God the Father had spoken. I ask you today, as God is searching my own heart and life, what is the Lord saying to you? What are you doing today personally? Are you staying the course? You say to me today, "Pastor, I know the Lord Jesus Christ." Are you staying the course? On that campus, are you staying the course? What dilemma are you facing? How are you doing? Oh, I know we've got personal preferences and personal convictions, but neither of those have any relevancy as far as the man and woman of God are concerned. The only thing that has any relevancy is the will of my Father which is in heaven. What about the church? What about our church? Are we staying the course? We've made room for others. Some of you have been asked to put your personal preferences and personal convictions and lay them aside. Some of you are asked to wait in long lines so that you can get into church. Some of you have been disrupted in your Sunday school class. Some of you no longer have as many in class as you did before. Some of you have changed worship services. Are you going to Sunday school, or have you opted out? Have you turned your back? Have you stopped? Are you staying the course? Are we staying the course? Are we becoming distracted, church? Are we about the Father's business? Are we holding high the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Choir, are you staying the course? Are we being faithful to the Lord? There's a lost world out here who needs Jesus Christ. And God is saying, lay aside your personal convictions and your personal preferences. The only thing that has any relevancy is my word, the absolute truth of who I am. Are you staying the course? But Lord, what about the world in which we live? All these things our pastor has shown us in Matthew 24 and will continue to do so. What about the rapture? What about people who are left behind and tribulation saints and Armageddons? What about all the suffering? What about the Antichrist, Lord? Surely you can do it some other way. Surely, Lord, people don't have to go. Surely, Lord, could we provide some other way other than Jesus Christ? And God says, this is not the will of my Father. The will of my Father is that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come to me, no man can be reconciled to me, excepting through my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Stay the course. Stay the course.
Jesus really is everything. I pray that as you've listened today, thank you so much for spending this time together with us. As this is coming to an end, we've got just a couple of minutes left. But before we get away, Dr. Don is bringing everything to the most important point of our entire week of broadcasts here on this Friday. I pray you'd hear Don with an open heart next.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. And I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.
Well, if you've given your life to Jesus Christ, welcome to the family, or welcome home if you've rededicated your life today. We have wonderful resources we want to put in your hands. You can contact us at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at tewonline.org. We do have wonderful resources there to help you grow in your faith. And right now, this Great Awakening and Abandoned Faith combination is such a powerful tool for ministry.
Have you been praying about how you can make a difference in the world? We would love to have you join us by becoming an Encourager ministry partner. Call us at 866-899-WORD to request an Encourager brochure today. There is no greater gift that you can give than to help spread the gospel. Together, we can do much to impact the world for Jesus Christ. Make a commitment to help spread the gospel in 2020. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. Thank you for listening today.
What a glorious week it's been, and I pray that you'll have a grand weekend. Let's stay connected on our website at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org, or we'd love to pray with you on the phone as well at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673.